Welcome and thanks for listening to this podcast by Christ United. For more information about our church, visit christislove.org.
For those of you who are here for Taste of Christmas, we told you then that God wanted you to wish for far more than you had ever wished for. To actually wish the wish of every human heart that I could have a new life, that I could leave behind all the things I wish I had not done, that I could be forgiven and I could begin a new life, destined to be all He created me to be, do all He created me to do, and ultimately land up in paradise. Well, that's what we set up for you earlier. And if you weren't there for Taste of Christmas, even now, we want to ask you to consider wishing tonight for more than you've ever wished for. To wish literally for that new life. Because the very reason that that old holy night, the night in which Christ was born, the very reason for that night being holy is that's exactly what He came to do. He came so that your sins could be forgiven, so that you could begin a new life destined for everything He created you for and ultimately for paradise. And so, as you think about that, many people think it's way too big. And so big that you've really never wished for it. And if it was offered to you, you would have a hard time accepting it because it seems almost ridiculous. I have a dear person in my life that was in my life, and I lost track of him. His name was Ray Walpert, and Ray lived right beside me, right beside my mother, I should say, in Garden City on the inlet. He was a dentist, very successful man. He was Jewish, and he had been for all of his life trying to be everything he felt he needed to be so that one day when it came time for him to die, God would say, I welcome you into heaven, into paradise. And so he went to synagogue and he paid his money and he did all the things right that he felt like were right. And in the midst of all that, Ray said to me one day as we were standing in the backyard of his home, he said, you know, I've had my practice over in Marion. And he said, and I was surrounded by a lot of these people who were these born-again Christians. And he said, and they would tell me that God would just give me this brand new life and that all my sins could be gone and that I could have a new life and I could have heaven just because of trusting in Jesus. And he said, it just can't be that simple. And when he said that, one of the great regrets of my life I share with you tonight, I just kind of said nothing. I was at a place where maybe I was so young as a young man, I don't know what it was, that I just couldn't find the words to express to him anything other than just hearing him say it and letting it go. And what is tragic is that he could have heard that night something that would change his forever. And tonight you're going to hear that something that could change your forever. Because about 30 some odd years after that holy night, when Jesus was born, Jesus was now going out into the world to share this gift that He desired to give to people of eternal life. And He was doing all kinds of miracles. And as He did these miracles, He made it clear the very reason He did the miracles was so that people would know and believe that He had the power to give that promise. He said, the reason I'm healing people and raising people from the dead is so you can know, listen, that what I can do is forgive all your sin, give you a new life destined to fulfill all of your purposes and ultimately in paradise. And he said, that's what I want to prove to you I can do. And so a man came to him just like my friend Ray. His name was Nicodemus. He himself was Jewish. Jesus was Jewish. He'd come for the Jewish people. But Nicodemus was a ruler of the people as a religious ruler. And so that meant that he was doing everything he could possibly do right. He was paying all the money he could pay. He was going to synagogue as much as he could. He was praying as much as he could pray. He was doing all those things. But he came to Jesus at night, and it became what might have been his holy night, like tonight might be yours. And he basically was coming to Jesus saying, look, I believe you must be from God because you couldn't be doing the signs that you're doing unless God was with you. And Jesus, knowing that he was coming, hoping that believing he was a teacher from God, he would teach him, what else have I got to do so I can know that I'm going to heaven? And Jesus just bypassed it all and he went straight to this statement. He said, I tell you the truth, or very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. And when he said that, the response of Nicodemus was like incredulous. It was like, you're crazy. He said, how can a person be born when they're old? He said, surely they can't enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. And it was almost like that statement, to be born again, to him was almost offensive. It was hard to understand. And it's interesting, but it's very offensive today. How many people have ever just heard people tell jokes about born-again people? You know, don't ever play hide-and-go-seek with a born-again person. They found God, you know? I mean, it's like there's this idea that, hey, man, I wouldn't claim to be a born-again Christian, because if I claim to be a born-again Christian, then that means that I'm kind of putting myself in this camp with all these religious fanatics. And so like I heard someone say one time, I don't need to be born again. I was born right the first time. You know, this whole thing, I don't have to be born again. And all those kind of things I've always chuckled with a little bit. But then I came to this realization that Jesus, the Son of God, made it an absolute imperative. You must be born again. Unless you're born again, you'll never see the kingdom of God. That's how serious it is. So it would do us well just tonight, please, on this night of that holy night in which Jesus was born, and we remember his birth, to think about what did he mean when he said, you need to be born again, about your birth. And so here was his response to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, after saying, how can a man be born again, go back into the womb a second time, Jesus said, very truly I tell you, he said, no one can see the kingdom of God or enter the kingdom of heaven unless they're born of water and the Spirit. And so he made it real clear and real simple. Now, to Nicodemus, it was simple. Let me make it simple to you. Nicodemus would have heard a prophet who had actually said something very similar. The prophet's name was Ezekiel. And Ezekiel said, in behalf of God, he said, I'll sprinkle clean water on you and you'll be clean. Not that the water would cleanse them, but God was saying, I'll forgive your sin. I'll sprinkle clean water on you and you'll be clean. So born of water, that Nicodemus knew people were being baptized by John the Baptist, thinking, I want my sins washed away. But Jesus said, in addition to that part of what it takes to have eternal life, you also need to be born of the Spirit. And that's what Ezekiel had also said. He said, I'll sprinkle clean water on you and you'll be clean. I'll cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. And then he says, I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I'll remove from you your heart of stone and I'll give you a heart of flesh. I will give you a new life as you live by my Spirit. And so what he was saying was, Jesus was saying, when I'm telling you, you've got to be born again, it means that you need to be forgiven and you need to be changed. Is there anybody here besides me that if you're going to get into heaven, you need to be forgiven and you need to be changed? I share with you a story I share every time I'm talking about the gospel with children. It was me when I was a kid, went to a new school, popular, And the girls kind of liked me and my brothers, because we were the only ones that had long hair in Horry County, you know. And so it was really cool. And so we were real popular and it was real cool. And we were playing kickball. And right as I got ready to kick the ball, this girl, Nancy Paul, who was a little bit overweight, she was mentally challenged. And Nancy Paul was standing over to the side. And she was mainstreamed young lady who was not mainstream. She was a girl that was looked down on and was considered to be very odd. She was precious, precious girl. Well, she said, Jeff Dunn's my boyfriend. And so here's this girl, 40 pounds overweight, acne, mentally challenged, saying, Jeff Dunn's my boyfriend, and all the boys start laughing. And so what I did was artfully took that big, y'all remember the big rubber balls that you used when you were playing kickball in school? So that big rubber ball was rolling toward me. So I just kick it straight toward her. She's 10 feet away from me, and I kicked it as hard as I could, straight at her. It went straight into her face, and it bounced off of her face and bounced off into the air, and it knocked her backwards, and her face was immediately red from the slap of that ball into her face, and tears just started running down her little cheeks. And I want to tell you something. I've done a lot of things since that time that are worse than that. But if I were to walk up to God and say, let me into heaven, I've been good. I've never slept with anybody besides my wife. I've never been drunk. I've never been high. I've given money. I've been a pastor. I've done all these great things, God. I've been a really good person. Let me into heaven. You know what God would have to say to me? Tune into this. He'd have to say to me, absolutely not. Because Nancy's going to be in heaven. And if I let you in, you'd mess up heaven. If I let you in, heaven won't be heaven for Nancy. There's only one way, Jeff, that you could be fit for heaven. The only way that I could let you into heaven is I need to do two things for you. Number one, I need to forgive you for kicking that ball into my daughter's face and breaking the heart of a precious child of mine. And you need to understand this. You don't deserve heaven because you did that. If you had only done that, I'd have done a lot worse. But if not for anything but that, you don't deserve heaven. But then he said, God would say to me, not only do I need to forgive you, I need to forgive you, but Jeff, dude, I got to change you. Because if I forgive you and I don't change you, then you go to heaven forgiven, but you go the same man you were, and you'll mess up heaven. If you're going to go to heaven being so wrapped up in yourself that you would hurt a precious young child because it embarrassed you, then you aren't fit for heaven. Does that make sense? God needs to forgive me and change me. God needs to forgive you and change you. Jesus says you can't enter heaven just because you say, please forgive me. You enter heaven because you say, God, please transform me. And so Jesus went on and said, flesh gives birth to flesh, spirit gives birth to spirit. He said, look, the truth is, everybody here has been born. I was born, March 19th, 1962. When were you born? You know when you were physically born. And from the time you were physically born, you've been working on that life. You started sucking 4 ounces of formula all the way to sucking 40 ounces of malt liquor. You know, it's like whatever it is that I need to satisfy my desires, whether it's your first dollhouse or your first vacation home, whether it's your first piggy bank or your first IRA, your whole life is spent about this physical life, about me being born and me living to satisfy the cravings of me, of my flesh. I'm a human being. Yeah. He said, you've been born, but the problem is when it comes to getting into heaven, all you've done to sustain your physical life ain't going to get you there. The only way you're going to be able to get into heaven is if you're made fit for heaven, and that's going to need something more than just your physical self. Nicodemus, if you crawl back in and were born again, you do it wrong again. How many people have ever said, I'm going to start better? We do it every January the 1st, don't we? Every January the 1st, it's like starting, you know, I'm going to get a new attitude. I'm going to get, you know, some new goals. I'm going to get all these new things that don't actually bring about new life. He's saying what you need is for God to put in your heart what's in his heart. What you need to do is be born spiritually. God breathed life into the first human being so they could physically live. But he says, if you're going to be with me in heaven, I got to breathe into you spiritual life. I got to put my love in your heart. I got to make you fit for heaven by making you like me. I've got to put me in you. You need to be born again. It's not just a matter of changing. You don't just need a new attitude or a new wardrobe or a new vocabulary or a new goal or some new rules to live by. You and I need a new life. Anybody besides me know that? God, I need a new life. I need to be spiritually born. And so after having said that to Nicodemus, Jesus said, here's how it's going to be, Nicodemus. The wind blows. And you don't know where it's coming from or where it's going. You can hear it, but you don't know where it's come from. It's going wherever it pleases. But you know the effects of the wind. He said it's the same way with somebody who is spiritually reborn. You're not going to see them be reborn, but tonight, please hear this. Tonight could be your holy night. And he was saying to Nicodemus, this could be your holy night. You could begin a new life tonight, and nobody's going to see you be physically reborn. But I promise you, just like the wind blowing, and you know the wind's there. You see the effects of it, even though you can't see the wind. If you are spiritually reborn, you're going to see the effects of God's Spirit at work in your life. He's going to be moving you where he wants to move you. You're going to be loving in a way like you've never loved. I'm going to be showing my power in your life, he says, because if you give your life to me, invite my Spirit into your life, then everybody is going to begin to see the effects of me coming in. Now, when you're born again, y'all tune into this. When you're born, how many people, when the first time you were born, like, you know, on day one, you ran a marathon, you know, you're a triathlete. You were the first, you know, seven-day-old triathlete. Nah. The truth is for about the first 3 months, somebody had to change your diaper and feed you. As a matter of fact, they had to keep on doing that for a long time. If you're like me, you probably had to do it until you were three. Right? Because the truth is newborn babies are being grown up in that, and they're growing up physically, and they're being fed physically, and they're growing physically. But God's saying, if you're reborn spiritually, what I'm going to do is I'm going to begin to put myself in you, and like a newborn baby, you're going to learn to live out that relationship, and you're going to learn to grow in me, and you're going to learn to love me, and you're going to learn to love other people. But you have to begin that life. And you begin that life by laying down your old one. You begin that life by saying, God, I need to be born spiritually from you, by you. I need you in me, and I invite you in to take this life and make it yours today. So Nicodemus says, how can this be? And Jesus said, man, you're a teacher. You don't even know how this can be. It's way simpler than you think, Nicodemus. And then Jesus says, I've been telling you about this physical stuff. I've told you about spiritual stuff. How are you going to understand it? And Jesus says, here, let me try to make it plain to you. Let me try to make it plain. He said, no one has gone into heaven except the one who has come from heaven. And Jesus said, that's me. Jesus is telling him how. So y'all tune in. This is how Jesus will do it for you tonight. Jesus was saying, look, back in the day, Nicodemus, you can remember this, and Nicodemus remembered it. Back in the day, the people of Israel had sinned real bad. And there were snakes that had bitten them because they had sinned so bad they were being put to death. And God said, I'm going to give you a way to be saved from those snake bites. And he took a snake and put it on a pole and held the snake up, Moses did. And people could look at the snake and God said, look, I'm going to show you my power. I will heal you of your snake bites and you can live, but you're going to have to trust me. And Jesus said, guess what? In the same way, I have come from heaven and I'm going to be lifted up. I am, Jesus was saying, I am the Son of the living God, the one who created this 14 billion light year universe, the one who breathed physical life into your life, the one who knit you together in your mother's womb. I am Emmanuel, which means God with us. And he's saying, I have come to this earth to give you this promise of a new life, and I will accomplish everything I've talked about just now. Y'all listen to this. God's saying, it's all me. I'm going to do it all, and I'm going to do it for you tonight if you want it done. If you tonight would ask for, wish for, believe in, and trust me to do this, and you're willing to give your life to me, he said, I will give you a brand new life. And so he said, here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to be lifted up, which means, Jeff, you know what I'm going to do for you, for what you did to Nancy, and far worse things than that. I'm going to go to the cross where you should have been, and I'm going to take your punishment on myself so you can be forgiven. Born of water, washed, forgiven, free. He's saying, I'm first going to pay the price for your sin. Anybody here who wants to say to God, I need to be washed, I need to be forgiven, I need to be cleansed. He's saying, I've come, Nicodemus. I've come. I wish I had so bad I had said that to Ray. I wish I'd said, Ray, he came to pay the price for all your sins so you could be washed, so you could be forgiven, and it could be all gone, your old life gone, past forgiven. But also Jesus was saying, I'm lifted up. Jesus said, you're going to be glad when I'm lifted up because then I am going to come to you by my Holy Spirit and I'm going to begin to fill you. I'm going to come and put me, what's in you. I'm going to put my love in you, my strength in you. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to begin to work in you, and I'm going to give you life from the inside out. I'm going to spiritually give you life. You're going to be born again. You're going to be new. Nicodemus is like, okay, this is beginning to make sense. Jesus, you are Emmanuel. You're the Son of the living God. You're the one who has actually come to pay the price for my sin, to be lifted up, and also come so that as you are raised from the dead and brought back to life, that you would give me your Holy Spirit, and God, and you have come so that I can have you in me, and you can give me birth from above. Do y'all know what to be born again? The word again is actually translated, it's 13 times in the New Testament, and out of those 13 times, almost only twice is it used to say again. Five of those times it's used to say, from above. From above. Jesus is saying, you need for me to give you what only I can give you. You need, you've already got life down here, but I want you to start getting life from up there. If you're going to end up with me in heaven, I need to start putting in your heart what comes from heaven. I need to start putting my heart in your heart. I need to give you life from above. And so tune in, guys. Listen, God's saying, I want to give you that life tonight. The next thing Jesus says is that verse that so many are familiar with. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life, or everlasting life. For God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. He said, I've come to save you, man. I've come to save you. God loved you so much, he sent me to pay the price for your sins, sent me so that I could give you my Holy Spirit and you could actually live out your life in relationship with me and you could be welcomed into heaven for paradise. I've done it all. And so you need to receive it. And so he says this last thing, and this is going to be the invitation for tonight. It's almost like he switches gears. He starts to talk about light. How many people have got a candle in your hand? Anybody got a candle in your hand? If you don't have a candle, I hope you'll grab one, because Nicodemus on that holy night had come to Jesus in darkness because he was still in a place where I didn't want publicly to be coming to Jesus saying, I believe you got the answers. And Jesus said this about himself. He said, this is the verdict. Light has come into the darkness, and he's speaking of himself. God has come into human flesh. God has come into this world to show you the light, to show you love, to show you how to live, to come in and change you and give you new life. Light has come into the world, he said, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. He said, everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. How many people have ever been in that place where it's like, I'm doing wrong. I don't want to come into the light because I don't want to see my deeds exposed. And so Jesus was saying, Nicodemus, you've come to me at night, right? You've come to me in the dark. It's almost like you don't want me to shine. But he says, whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be plainly seen that what has been done through God or in the presence of God. And he's saying, Jesus is saying this to Nicodemus as he's saying it to you today. He's saying, come into the light. Come to me and let me give you life. Don't be ashamed of me. Don't be ashamed to let the world know you're trusting in me, because I am Emmanuel. I'm the Son of God. I'm the light of the world, and I've come to pay the price for your sins, to be lifted up on a cross so that you can be healed of all your sin and all the mess of your life. And I have come so that my spirit can be put into your heart and you can have a brand new life born from above. And that brand new life, like the life of a baby, you'll grow in that, and I'll never stop working on you until you are fit for heaven, and I'll take you to be with me in paradise forever. Sounds like a deal. So here's the deal. If you've got a candle, I want to say something about your candle. Everybody in here has got a candle right now, and not one of them is lit. Some of you, this is your life. Listen. You've got a body, you got a life, God created you, and you've got a body and you're living. And so in a way, it's like having that candle in your hand. Well, I'm real, I'm here, but you don't have life yet because your candle hasn't been lit. If you're a person who is Jesus, the reason he said, unless you're born again, you'll never see the kingdom of heaven, he's saying, look, unless I forgive you and change you, you're not going to be able to get into heaven. Unless I forgive you and change you. And I've come to do both of those things for you. So Nicodemus, if you'll come to me, I'll forgive you and I'll change you. I'll light your candle, man. I'll bring life into you. Now. Tonight. Imagine this. It was Nicodemus's holy night. It was the chance for him to say, yes, Jesus, I want to be born again. And if born again sounds too freaky, I want to be born from above. I need the life that only you can give, and so I need you to forgive me and change me, so I want to begin that life now. Now. This is your invitation to begin that life now. Now, tune into this. I'm going to invite you to do something. If you've already done it, here's what I know. I know my birthday, March 19th, 1962. I also know the day when I began that new life. Now, some of you may not know the exact day. Like, sometimes labor takes a long time. You know what I'm saying? And so it might have been over a period of time. But if you are born from above, you know it. Because just like you can't see the wind, you can see the effects of it. And you know it. God has taken me wherever he wants me to go. He lives in me. His love is in me. I've got all the evidence I need that right now this life is from God, that he is at work in me. Now, it doesn't mean I'm without fault. I have lots of mistakes, but I know there's evidence that he lives in me. If you are born from above, you know it. There's no doubt about it. As sure as I know I was physically born on March the 19th, 1962, I know I was born on that night when I had gotten mad at my mama and left the house and went away and said, how can I make this work? And God said, I can make it work. And I can give you a new life. Tonight is your night. It's the most important thing you'll ever do in your entire life. December 24th, 2015 could be the date of your new birth, of your birth from above. And he says, if I start a work in you tonight, I'll carry it on to completion. I don't let my babies go without care. I will care for you, and I will love you, and I will keep growing until you're with me in heaven. So here's how we're going to do it. If you already know it, I want you to stay in your seat. Let me say that one more time. If you already know it, I want you to stay in your seat. If you know for sure I've already been born from above, I know it, stay in your seat. But listen, if you don't know it for sure, if you don't know for sure that you've done what Jesus said is necessary if you're going to enter heaven, that I've been born another time from above by Him spiritually, if you don't know that, I'm going to invite you to take a brave step to come into the light. And right here is the candle that represents Jesus. It's the Christ candle. And y'all focus in on that if you can. I don't know if you can do that. But as you look at that Christ candle, guys, it's going to be right here down front. And I'm going to invite you to take your candle and tonight to mark it that you would come down and light that candle and say, tonight, I want to be born again. I want to be forgiven, and I want to be changed. And so I'm asking you to forgive me by the sacrifice that you gave and change me by your Spirit in me. I want to be moved by your Spirit for the rest of my life. I am yours forever. As of tonight, I begin a new life. So if you've never done it before, let this be your night. I'm going to ask you to walk down the aisle and come and light off of that candle your candle, and then I'm going to ask you to come stand anywhere here along the front. Just step, but stay here because we're going to pray for you. You won't have to face anybody. You'll just be facing the front, but stay up here if you do that tonight. And then after the song is finished, we're going to pray for you, and you're going to leave here knowing that this was the day you began a new life.
Thanks again for listening to this podcast by Christ United. For more information, visit us at christislove.org.